This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan Aul.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
After 2 years' work analyzing more than 400,000 stories, the American Press Institute is beginning to find general patterns in what works to attract and hold the attention of digital readers. That's the opening line of an article from the Poynter Institute. It's written by Rick Edmonds, who wrote that the study found long stories do fine and are read thoroughly. Photos, audio clips, and video clips generally boost engagement. And major enterprise stories do quite well, though they account for just 1% of the content produced. However, doing just a little more than a very basic news story, what the report refers to as light enterprise reporting, did not improve engagement at all. But in general, some of these findings, Jasmine, run counter to some of the beliefs we've held over the years regarding digital content.
Yeah, originally it was believed that digital readers were not attracted to long, drawn-out stories because they didn't want to, first of all, read on such a small platform like a smartphone. And now we're finding that people don't mind the length of the story. In fact, they are drawn to those longer stories. And when they're using their smartphone, they feel like they're using it on their own time. They can do what they want. And people are reading those longer enterprise stories, which I think is great. And I hope from this article, I hope more people realize that enterprise stories, ones that where you're digging or your investigative stories, are, you know, they're going to be more of those because I don't see those being done as much. And I think those are important to people.
You say using your mobile device, it feels more like it's yours and your own time as opposed to, say, the desktop computer you might have at the office.
Right, yeah, because they were originally seeing that people weren't reading the longer stories on maybe the desktops as much, but people are on the smartphones. And I found it interesting because I also I do the newsletter for Illinois News Broadcasters Association, and I found that when I would send it out to people that smartphones were being used quite a bit and for the very long, lengthy job file that we send out and where it lists all these different positions. So people are using their smartphones to browse these very long, drawn-out articles or listings.
Which, again, seems counterintuitive.
Well, but I think there's one thing that we're forgetting in this is that think about how mobile devices have changed in the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the first BlackBerry I had that I think I got in 2009, and I was a late adopter, and it was a tiny little screen, and rolling through it was really difficult. And now smartphones are getting bigger and bigger. I think smartphones are getting to the point where they're pushing the envelope of how big they can possibly be and still be a mobile device. But there's also – think about what's gone on with tablets and think about how you know, people are replacing magazines with tablets. And those are still mobile devices much more so than they are desktops or laptops. So I think that one of the things that wasn't accounted for as much – as it should have been in this article, in this study, is that the mobile devices are making it easier to take on really long stories. The other thing, though, is that there's a lot of encouraging stuff in here that makes me very happy because obviously I, as a journalist, want to see more attention to enterprise stories and to in-depth things. It's what we do in public radio, and I think better journalism does that. But, you know, also remember that last year NPR's online April Fool's story – It just – they posted on social media a picture of a bookshelf and the headline that Americans don't read anymore. And if you clicked on the link, it said April Fools. Actually, everybody reads quite a bit. But in the comment section, people were going in and saying, no, I read all the time and my children read. And these are NPR listeners. These are people that we like to think are incredibly intelligent. And they were commenting on this story without even reading it. So I think that it's encouraging. But to think that this is somehow the definitive proof that we all need to be doing great in-depth journalism and that's what is going to be there's an audience for and a market for, it's a little premature to say that.
Regarding the BlackBerry, I remember one time reading an email on my BlackBerry and thinking, man, this person is so long-winded. And then I looked at the same email on a desktop, and it was a single sentence. Mm-hmm. It was a single line.
Yeah, I think that it's the combination of, you know, and maybe my big takeaway from this article, my big takeaway is that the way that people are interacting with the content changes almost daily. Mm-hmm. And as anyone who is a content provider, journalists or anyone who's producing any content, we need to keep on top of how people are interacting with the content we produce and what's the best way to reach them.
Yeah, and we need to be aware of the technology changes and how our how it looks on any different platform.
I find it interesting that photos, audio clips, and video clips generally boost engagement, that those three are grouped together, because we are concerned sometimes here in radio that while we post the audio of stories to the website, and it doesn't take much work to do that, we just sometimes question whether anyone is actually listening to that story or simply flipping through the text of the story. So it's interesting to me to see that audio clips are grouped together with video clips and photos as something that will help boost engagement.
Yeah, well, when I was web producer for a few months, I took over a position for someone at my old TV station, they always told me when they were training me that, you know, always make sure a photo is posted, because that's going to make people click on that. So that's been something I think that's been known for years.
Yeah, and I would agree. There's just that visual aspect there. You need to have a photo. And even though we work in radio, we take a camera everywhere with us now. We have to take photos for the web, photos for the radio.
Yeah, and I think that we're still defining what multimedia content is. You know, I think that you know, it says audio and video boosts engagement. I'd like to know about what kind of audio and video. You know, because anecdotally, I've found that when you have audio or video that complements what's going on in text, that is really good. When you've just got a video or audio version of the same story, even if it's a little different, that tends, I find, to not be as interesting. But like if you're doing if you have a story about some environmental issue and then you've got a 1-minute video showing, you know, the affected area or something like that that goes along with it, that can boost engagement. But if it's just a version of what you're reading, I don't know that that does. So I think we've got a lot more to learn. I'm glad people are studying it. But again, my takeaway is we got to figure out how people are using the content and on what devices and how we can best serve them with the best possible information.
Yeah, I wonder if this sort of this level of research went into, for example, the early days of radio and trying to figure out how people use the radio to get news or information, and same with the early days of television.
I don't know. Did Marconi have a focus group?
Look it up on Wikipedia.
Right.
All right.
Only if there's audio and video with it to boost my engagement.
And if it's a long-form story, because you'll stick with it.
Exactly.
All right. With that, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.